As you probably saw the bulletin, I think it was even announced this morning, my topic for tonight is friendliness and us having the spirit of friendliness. Now, how far does friendliness go? Well, being friendly makes a deep impression upon the people we meet every day, and the people who worship with us. It makes a deep impression upon them, whether we're friendly or unfriendly. I mean, just think how it affects you. When you go somewhere, you go into a business, you go to a new church, or whatever it is, how does it affect you when people are friendly to you versus when they're not? It's really a big deal. And Jesus made it a big deal in what Billy just read for us. This is not something that's minor. I believe a congregation's influence is affected greatly by whether or not it is friendly. You know, so we can boast of having the truth. We can boast that we know God, we know Jesus, and all those things. But an unfriendly spirit will quickly turn people away, regardless of what we believe, even if we do believe the truth. Whereas if we're friendly, that creates in people's heart an eagerness to hear, you know, whatever it is we have to say and to accept it. I mean, if you're a business owner and you're friendly to people, they want to keep coming back to you because of how you treat them. And it's the same way in the church or just in our individual lives. But friendliness is, I think, something that we think is optional. We kind of look at it as, well, okay, you're friendly, that's natural for you, but that's just not me. But I want to show you tonight that it has to be you, based upon the teachings of Jesus Christ, all right? First of all is this, the spirit of friendliness is the spirit of Christ. Think about it. Was Jesus unfriendly? To me, it's absurd even to ask the question. Just a casual reading of the gospel accounts reveals the friendly spirit of our master. Why were people comfortable around him? From Pharisee to prostitute, people went to Jesus and they were comfortable with him. I know he taught some hard truths, but he was approachable because he was friendly, because he was kind. And that attracted people to him. Jesus is our Lord and Master. How then can we not be friendly? The disciple imitates his master. And Jesus was kind and friendly to people. I'm his disciple, but I don't want that part of him. It just doesn't work. I'm not saying that it should be easy for us. Maybe it's very hard, but if you're not naturally friendly, if you're naturally reserved, that's just something you have to overcome. Just like maybe there's another area in which your brother sitting next to you or your sister sitting next to you, maybe friendliness comes naturally to them, but maybe they have some other thing that is difficult for them to change. Whereas that particular thing is easy for you. So we all have something that we have to change. We just can't say, well, that's just not me. And number two is this. The spirit of friendliness is the spirit of the golden rule. Luke 6:31. Jesus said, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." And he said that was the law and the prophets. What was he teaching in the law of Moses? What was he teaching in the prophets? What was he teaching in the Psalms? It was to treat others the way You want to be treated. To use an extreme example, I do not want you to murder me. Okay, so I won't murder you. If I'm in help, I want you to help me. So if you're in help, I should help you. You get the idea. Are there people actually who don't want others to be friendly to them? Yeah, there's a few. But generally speaking, don't we all want others to have a spirit of friendliness toward us? I think we do. Okay, well, the golden rule teaches that as disciples of Christ, we're the ones who make the first move. Okay, in that passage that Billy read from Matthew 5, Jesus did not say, wait until others treat you well and then you treat them accordingly. No. He teaches that we take the initiative. Listen again to Matthew 5, 46 and 47. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Okay, that makes sense. Do not even the tax collectors the same? Okay, here's these tax collectors that they couldn't stand and they don't want to be around them. But Jesus says, well, they can even love the people who love them. What's the big deal in that? 47. And if you greet your brethren only, you show friendliness towards your brethren only, what do you more than others? What makes your religion, your faith, better? I think Christianity is the only heaven-authorized way. And I'm not trying to slam, you know, Islam or Buddhism or whatever, but I just think Christianity, from what I can see, is on top of the world. And I want everyone to join it, to be part of it, don't you? Okay, but if I can only greet those who are my brethren, then Jesus says, well, what are you doing that's better than what they're already doing? He said again, do not even the tax collectors do so. So Jesus taught, my understanding there, is that friendliness is not an option. And it's not like, okay, you got your main course, and then you can choose your own sides. You know how you can do that in restaurants now? Maybe you got a list of 10 sides that can go with the main course you're ordering. You know, and if you don't like that, you don't have to get this item. You don't like the baked beans, well, you can get the coleslaw instead. Well, Christianity is not like that. It's not like, okay, you take the main course, Jesus, and if you like the idea of giving your money, you can do that, but if you don't like the idea of being friendly, you don't have to do that. That's not what he teaches. You know, we take it all together. Part of what makes us followers of Jesus is that we treat people the way he taught or treated people. Number three, the spirit of friendliness is the spirit of the second greatest commandment. Remember that a lawyer approached Jesus in Matthew 22 and asked him, what was a great commandment in the law? He responded that the great commandment was to love God with the entirety of your being. And then he wanted to add a second one to it. In my opinion, it's because a lot of people think they love God. Most everyone thinks they love God. But he wanted to add the second one because it's really a test of whether you love God or not. He said the second one is this, Matthew 22:39. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if I can do that, then my claims of loving God are true. We are sensitive as to how others treat us. At least I am. I'm sure you are. Maybe, you know, if someone's word towards us was a little harsh, or maybe it was extra loving, or, you know, whatever, we're sensitive to that. Okay, fine. Well, now Jesus says, be as sensitive to your neighbor as you want him to be to you. Love him the way you want him to love you. It will determine, I mean, for example, just that whole spirit of friendliness, doesn't it determine whether or not we'll patronize a business? Doesn't it often determine whether we will place our membership with a certain congregation? In the first century, it seems to me like they're just one church, period, per town. Whereas now, you know, we've got, you know, it's like going to whatever restaurant you want to go to, and then whatever restaurant you go to, you got all these different meal options. That's kind of how it is in America today with the church. You know, you can pick whatever kind of church you want that suits your personality, as though it's all about us. And it's not. It's about the Lord and about us serving Him. So Jesus commands us to be as sensitive to our neighbor as we are to ourselves. Be sensitive to their loneliness, you know, when they're visitors here. When they're lonely outside of here. Don't let this idea of friendliness just be here, where we feel comfortable. It just, that must be our whole makeup. And let me speak about here. When someone comes here for the first time, especially if they're not familiar with the Churches of Christ, they don't know what to expect. They may have an element of fear. It took a lot for them to decide to come here. We think it's no big deal. You know, I can go to any church anywhere just because I'm used to it and I feel right at home. But not everybody's that way. And so I need to see that in others. I believe Jesus is teaching us. See that and minister to them. It doesn't have to be difficult. You know, just extending your hand and saying, "Hi, my name is Don." They're going to say hi back, and "My name is Bruce," or something, you know. I mean, it doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. Number four, the spirit of friendliness is the spirit of Christianity. Doesn't friendliness sum up what we are as Christians? I mean, if we're just not friendly to people, they're going to be turned off by us, no matter what we believe and teach, even if we're right on in our teachings. A friendliness, I think, opens a lot of doors. People will judge you based upon your demeanor towards them. Isn't that right? I mean, don't you do the same thing? If someone's friendly to you or extra friendly, you kind of open some doors for that person that maybe you normally would not have. So we need to think about that. Friendliness should be our everyday makeup. If it's only practiced here, it's hypocrisy. We need to make it natural. Let me give you a few passages from the New Testament that shows either teachings or examples of the way the church was in the first century. Okay, the first one is in Matthew 10, verse 12. Matthew 10, 12, Jesus said this, "And when you go into a household, greet it." I mean, of all the things that Jesus wanted his apostles to do, I mean, these guys are going to go before some powerful people who have the power to persecute them and kill them, or the power to believe in them or believe their message and encourage everyone else to believe their message. And Jesus throws in there this idea of greeting. Greet people. When you go into a home, greet the people who are in it. To me, it seems logical. Of course you would do that, but evidently that's not so with everyone. So he makes a point of saying, when you enter a household, greet it. Greet the whole house, the whole everyone who's there. 1 Corinthians 16. Now you're going to notice all these other passages that I give you are going to be coming from the end of New Testament letters. The writer, such as this next one in 1 Corinthians, Paul, he's done all his teaching that he's going to do for that letter. So it's important now for us to notice how he ends it, and evidently the Holy Spirit thinks this is important enough that he wanted it in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 16, 19 and 20. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. And then he actually issues a command and says, greet one another with a holy kiss. So it's not just my idea. Don, you're preaching your opinion tonight. No. I'm giving you scripture for it. Philippians 4, 21 and 22. Paul, by the Spirit, said, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you. But especially those who are of Caesar's household. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. So not just your friends. Don't just hang around with your friends. But the entire church should be, well, the entire church is our family. And we need to see it that way. And we need to show the spirit of friendliness toward everyone in the church. 3 John 14. So you're almost at the end of the Bible here. 3 John 14. Here's what it says. I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Again, showing a very individualistic action. Greet the friends by name. And then finally, Hebrews 13, verse 24. Hebrews 13, 24, which says, greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Now, I think it's interesting that the Hebrew writer did not encourage them just to sit there and wait for their leaders to come greet them. Should the leaders greet people in the church? You bet. That's what's going on right here. We're reading from a leader, you know, various leaders in the church, and they're greeting people. But then he also said, you make a point of greeting your leaders. You reach out to them. They'll reach out to you, but they usually will have a lot of other people that they're dealing with. They'll miss you once in a while, I can guarantee it. Believe me, I've heard it. When I've missed greeting someone. Okay? More than once in 38 years. So, you know, if you want to talk to someone, you want them to have a little conversation, go up to them and greet the leader, whoever he is. So, what shall we do with all this New Testament information? I think, based upon what we looked at, that it is unscriptural to be unfriendly. Now, if you think that I've gone too far in saying that, please sit down with me and we'll talk about it. But from everything that I'm seeing in Scripture, and actually the page of my notes here where I have, where I just gave you some Scriptures, what did I just give you? 5 passages. I actually have 17 passages written down that I could give you that say all the same thing as those last 5 that I just gave you. So that just leads me, I mean, if I gave you 17 passages of Scripture that said, you must believe in Jesus to be saved, would you not conclude that you need to believe in Jesus to be saved? Of course you would. Well, I've just given you at least 5 that show we must greet one another and greet people who are not of us as well, who are not believers. We need to greet them, show them kindness and friendliness as well. I guess I'm using kindness and friendliness as synonyms. And there's a passage in the book of Proverbs, I can't remember the chapter and verse right now, but if someone wants to look it up, go ahead and then raise your hand and tell me what it is. But it says, what is desired in a man is kindness. That's what I want in my friends. I don't care whether they're rich or not, whether they're ugly or not, whether their clothes are the best clothes or not or whatever. I just want you to be kind. Don't you want that from your friends? Christianity, and I know that you believe this, but it cannot be an experience where we just simply show up, you know, once a week, pay our dues, and go on our way. It's a whole attitude change. We cannot continue to live as we did before our conversions. But we have to show by the way we're living that we've changed. The old man, the old woman was buried in baptism. They're dead and gone. And now Jesus lives in me. The Spirit lives in me. And that's obvious by how I treat you. Christianity is not an experience that you can keep to yourself. But haven't you noticed that in the New Testament? How can I say I have faith, but I don't practice it on you? I know there are some people that think you just don't need the church. And I think, do they realize how many teachings in the Bible they're ignoring? There's a ton of them. So in order to be everything that God wants me to be, you know, not only do I have to be an active member of His church, but I need to practice my Christianity on others, especially my brothers and sisters. So I think the key to this whole thing is this. Not concentrating on yourself. Well, that I'm uncomfortable being friendly or reaching out to people, or that's just not me, that's not my personality or something like that. Don't even think about that. Throw that thinking away and concentrate on Jesus Christ. Just look at Him. I want to be like Him. That's why you wear the name Christ Eon or Christian. Because you want to be like Him. He is the one who taught the golden rule. He is the one who told us that loving your neighbor as yourself is the second greatest commandment. And He is the one upon whom our faith is built. So, whatever excuses I might have for not being friendly, I just have to dispense with those. Say, again, I'm dead to those things. I'm now alive to Jesus. And I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And one of the things He told me He wants me to do is to show kindness toward people who may not necessarily show it to me, or at least haven't shown it to me yet. I take the first step. For me, it comes down to this. Do I believe that Jesus is Lord? There were people in the first century who were calling Him Lord. But that's as far as it went. So this is recorded for us in Luke 6, 46. Where he asked a question, and I think it's really a challenge. Luke 6, 46. He said, why do you call me Lord and Lord and do not the things which I say? He wants us to confess our belief that He is Lord. And He's promised, I think it's Matthew 10, 31 and 32, somewhere around there. He's promised that if we confess Him before men, He will confess our name before the Father in heaven. Okay, so that's important. But He now says, okay, if you really believe I'm the Lord and not you anymore, if you really believe I'm the teacher, I'm the master, I'm the one who's leading your life, who has control of your life, show it to me now. And one of those ways is by the Spirit of friendliness. If you have some need for the invitation tonight, we want to encourage you to think about that as we sing this song. And if you do have a prayer request or whatever it might be, come forward as we stand and sing.